Big Sky Boneheads podcast. My name's Michael Gray. He's Scott Hershey. And thrilled to welcome this week's guest. I'm just going to go bullet point by bullet point. And Jim, you tell me if I get anything wrong. Born in Great Falls, graduated CM Russell, graduated Montana State, All-State running back 1979, held MSU's single-season tackle record, recorded MSU's single-game record with 30 tackles, CFL, NFL, and then this thing that blew up on everybody's television called the American Gladiators. What did I miss, bud?
You're spot on. You got it all right. The most important thing is born and raised in Montana. So proud to be a Montanan. So yeah, there's high school, college, pro, and then obviously being injured in the NFL, and it was just an outlet. You know, I was in the right place at the right time and landed the gig on American Gladiators for a good 7-8 years. So yeah, so it was pretty cool little time in my life, which was many years ago. But yeah, you hit the nail on the head with everything there.
That is a lot of Montana that all of a sudden turned into a guy that everybody knows as Laser.
I guess so who
gave you the name? Yeah.
We were all in the studio. This is when I first was hired to be on the show back in late 1989. I had tryouts, and then we filmed January of 1990, which was the second half of the first season, because I missed the first 13 episodes because Malibu was on the show, and they realized Malibu just wasn't a tough guy, so they got rid of Malibu and had the second tryout, and I made the show for the second part of the first season. But as I recall, we were in the studio and nobody could come up with a name, and I just blurted out, how about, I was thinking something that's fast, you know, Laser, tough, everything. And anyhow, one thing led to another. I said, how about Laser? Everyone was like, yeah, that's it. Laser, that's your new name. And that's kind of how it all started.
Now, you didn't consider at any point just naming yourself Bobcat? I mean, that would have been half the state of Montana would have been mad, but what a great name for an American Gladiator. Yeah.
That is, you know, and I never thought of that. That's actually a really good name for a gladiator, Bobcat. I mean, that would have been, I like that. I think I would have taken that name if I would have thought about it.
Then we could have cheered against you if we were Grizz fans in Montana. It would have been worked perfectly. So
that's awesome.
There's been kind of a resurgence of interest in American Gladiators, and a little bit for those of us who grew up and watched it when it happened. It's been an interesting behind-the-scenes look with the Netflix documentary about it, and that has brought probably renewed attention to you. How much of a resurgence have you seen in attention just from that?
Yeah, it's been massive. It's really humbling for me to know that 30 years after the show ended, that the show has some significance around the globe, and to have Netflix interested in doing that 5-part documentary, it's really humbling. It says a lot. And I'm sure you and the audience probably know that we were the first actual reality TV show before reality TV began, right? So, you know, we kind of carved out that market as a reality TV show. And when the show ended in 1997, we were in 60 some countries across the globe. But ever since that Netflix documentary aired on June 28th, it's opened a whole resurgence of interest. We've been out signing autographs all over the country. I went to a couple Comic-Cons, one in New York, which was just crazy. Went to a Maryland toy show and signed autographs with Ice. And it's been pretty cool. And people reaching out on social media. It's pretty cool, to be honest. It's, you don't realize ever what you're doing in the moment of what you're doing, whether it's creating a new business, new television show, whatever that is, and you don't realize it till years later, and it's pretty darn cool. I would have to say I don't think people recognize me. You know, once in a while, if you say, hey, you know, somebody says something about Gladiators, then they may put two and two together. But I definitely don't have people like I did 30 years ago because I had a flat top and I was 240 pounds. I'm barely making 195 now, but it's people don't recognize me as they did back in the day. But yeah, it's pretty cool that that it's come around full circle, basically, that that people are now remembering us.
How did they pitch this thing to you? Because it was a first of its kind and nobody was doing anything like this. How do they bring you in?
Yeah, it was kind of unique. So my buddy, Dan Clark, who was Nitro and I both played ball at the Rams, LA Rams, when they were in LA. And I met Dan, he was a linebacker, and we just became best friends. This was 1987, and I was injured. I had a really bad injury, and that ended my career. 3 years later, up to that 3 year point, Dan and I were single, living together, and doing everything we could to just make ends meet, right? So we started doing commercial work and going out and doing commercials as extras, and one thing led to another. We started doing fairly well getting international commercials, and Dan and I had the same agent. And Dan got a call from our agent to go try out for American Gladiators. Well, Dan and I argue about really what occurred, but what I remember is the agent told Dan to tell me that there was this television show called American Gladiators and they were looking for ex-football players. Well, Dan never told me, and Dan got casted for American Gladiators. Well, then they stopped production because they got rid of Malibu. And Dan had told the producers and directors, because they told everybody they were going to stop production filming and they were going to have a tryout to find another gladiator. And Dan said, hey, I got the perfect guy. He's my roommate. And I still had to try out, but I obviously had one in because Dan gave me the nod with the producers and directors. And that's how I got on the show. I tried out, and here's what was kind of different and kind of cool. You know, for many years, I was 228, 235 pounds as an athlete playing football. And I got into modeling in the LA deal, right? So my agent said, hey, you're too big to be a model. You need to get down to like 190. So I went back to Montana. This was right before I tried out for the Gladiators. And I went from 225 down to about 205. And I was doing about 4 hours of cardio a day because I was already at 5% body fat. And so I lost all that muscle. And I tried out for the Gladiators at about 208, I think. And I was going up against guys that were 260, 280. And I was kicking their ass. And they were like, and I think that's probably why I got the nod to be the next American Gladiator, because I was probably only, you know, 205, maybe 205. And I was just kicking ass against other guys that were much larger than I was and probably better athletes. But I think I got the nod because of that and being aggressive and everything else. So yeah, that's how it all started.
Well, it's interesting. You called it the first reality show, which it was, unscripted. Everything's just going on in front of the cameras. When I was watching it, I thought of it as almost a game show where the contestants got their asses kicked. And the games that you guys came up with, I mean, some of them worked, some of them didn't work. But some of those were absolutely brutal on the gladiators themselves. And I'm thinking about the one where you're basically standing on a pedestal and the contestant is coming at you. And they're just absolutely trying to take you. You're standing
on a rope swing.
And you got a guy who's also very large coming at you on a rope swing.
How freaking crazy is that shit? I mean, I hate to cuss, but here you are. It's called the human cannonball. And, you know, these guys were coming about, I think, 45 miles an hour once they hit you.
Yeah.
And you just had a forearm shiver pad. And that's actually what ended Malibu's career. I mean, he couldn't handle it. But you were a sitting duck, sitting on this pedestal. I mean, how silly and stupid. I mean, there were so many people that got hurt on that show based on that one event. And I mean, that there were so many injuries on that show in the course of 8 years. I mean, and I'm one of them. I had over, in the 8 years, I think I had 10 surgeries in the 8 years. And then I've had about 8 surgeries following the Gladiators because of all the injuries that happened and how forceful all the events were. But what a goofy event that was, right?
Oh right. And you guys were supposed to be basically superheroes. That's kind of what the deal was. It was normal people versus superheroes. And so you couldn't show any of that. Like, it was, you know, obviously you were really injured in some of these cases. The cameras were on. You're still trying to hold up the persona. I'm sure there were times when you were like, cut the camera. I'm in real pain here.
Oh, yeah. It was, you know, thinking back on the show and all the Gladiators talk about it today, even, just how brutal it was. You know, we filmed, there was between 26 to 29 episodes that we would film in 1 year over a course of about 2.5 to 3 weeks. So we would do back to back 2 shows a day, and we would go 4 days on, maybe 2 days off, 3 days on, 1 day off. So all of us Gladiators were, you know, we were on set for 12 to 15 hour days, back to back shows. Now, if you were a contender and you competed, let's say, on a Monday and you advanced on to the next round, heck, that contender would have maybe 4 to 5 days of rest before they had to compete again. Well, we were doing 2 shows every day, all the events. So there's, what, 5, 6 different events per show. So what, there's 14 different events that you're involved in. And if you got injured, you're injured. And I got to tell you, every year I was on that show, no matter what, the first day I was injured. And most of it was, you know, I hurt my shoulders, you know, tearing a rotator cuff or doing something. Every single year I did it. And it just got to the point where, oh my gosh, you get in the pain and all the painkillers and everything else that you had to be on. It was just awful.
Well, and Jim, it occurred to me that the schedule they had you guys on looks a lot like what pro wrestling and pro wrestlers go through with, you know, they're doing it with travel as opposed to tapings, but you had to go, or I assume you didn't get paid.
That, you're spot on there. The way the contract read is so all of us got paid, you know, per our agreement. All of us had different agreements, I imagine. We got paid for the day. So you had a daily rate per episode of filming, but where you'd make your big money was all the residuals throughout the next several years. So, you know, missing one show, I mean, you were talking thousands and thousands of dollars. And, you know, we weren't doing the show just because we loved to compete, which, yeah, that's great to do, but we also wanted to make a living doing it. And that's very true that, boy, you missed one show. You were talking some massive mega bucks that would, you know, help feed your family. So it was do or die. I mean, that's it. And man, you talk about the injuries, and I just remember all of us in the back, just the ice baths and the ice on our arms and elbows. Almost all the injuries were either hands, elbows, or shoulders. That's it. Because of, you know, not wearing equipment and all the different goofy events they had us involved in. But yeah, it was man, oh man, you know, I'm sick. I'll be 62 next month, and you can't tell me every day I'm a mess. I mean, waking up, I feel old. I don't feel good. It's, it really took its toll on me, I can tell you that.
Well, at some point, the popularity of it rose so much, and it was such a big deal across the country. You guys, somebody had the bright idea to take you out on tour. I know that was covered. Yeah. It was covered in the documentary about how tough that was on you, because now you're doing it every night, and you're traveling in between. That had to be like the idea that kind of really put the hurt on your bodies.
Yeah, and thank God we were young, right? I mean, I was only 28 when that all started, but God, I got to tell you that tour was so much fun, though. I mean, we were like rock stars. We had this big tour bus with all the guys and girls in one bus. We started up in Maine, worked our way down to, we were down in, we were in New Orleans. And then we went over to all the way to California, up to Washington, and then ended our last show 6 months into it. We ended our show in Salt Lake. And I got to tell you, it was a blast, but man, you talk about a grind. So you're on the road, competing 7 days out of the week. You never had a time ever a day off, and you would get done with the show around 10:30 at night, take a shower. We would all get something to eat, get on the bus, travel to the next city. And that city could be an hour to 12 hours away. Get off the bus, go into your hotel, find some sleep, and then trying to train. And then, you know, we would have to find gyms at these different cities, and all of us would go train. And then all of the press type stuff we were doing, you know, but we were young. It was a hell of a time. It was a lot of fun, but it was a grind. I can tell you that.
Now, Jim, I know that I've run into this a couple of times where, going back to the pro wrestling thing, I would go to the gym where I worked out and they would be in town, and you start looking around and go, oh, hey, that's so-and-so and that's so-and-so. Because they would come as a group of guys. And and I know from talking to UFC guys that when they go out, they have to train, they travel, and that there's always some dipshit that wants to give it a go. And I imagine with the fame you guys had, and they go, that's Laser, I bet I could take him. Was that a thing you had to deal with back in the day?
You know what? That never did. Let me tell you, I've been in enough fist fights in Montana before the Gladiator days. But, you know, as you know how tough it is in Montana, you go to Stockman's or something like that in Missoula, everyone's fighting, or you go to the Rockin' R Bar. But I've been in enough street fights. But I got to tell you, I never had that happen. Really, I never met a guy, even out during the Gladiators or post Gladiators where they wanted to, you know, give it a try. But I think once they heard you're a Gladiator, they're like, hey, oh my God, the Gladiators, that's pretty cool. But yeah, that's interesting that you say that. You would think there'd be some tough guy that wanted to try, you know, his hand in Mortal Kombat or something like that. But no, nothing ever happened like that, which is kind of bizarre, actually.
One of the strange things that I thought, and I find this strange, and maybe it happened a little bit, but watching the documentary and watching the camaraderie among the Gladiators, it seemed to be, I would have thought there would have been a lot more infighting. I'd have thought you're talking about big egos, you're talking about big personalities and larger than life and fame and all of the things that make into the perfect combination of things where there could be real trouble among a group like that. And it seemed like your camaraderie was very, very good throughout that period.
Very true. Very true. I don't ever remember, you know, hell, when you're playing professional football or college, you have fights on the field, right? I mean, and they're your teammates. I mean, and similarly, all of us were teammates on the show, women and men. But man, we just never, the competition of being the best of the best, right? You wanted to be the best Gladiator, no matter what event you were doing, you just wanted to be the best. And I think we had a really good camaraderie amongst males and females. We never argued. We all got along. We still do today. I'm really good friends with Steve Henneberry, Tower, Nitro. My favorite gal is Lori Fetrick, who's Ice. She's just awesome. It was a close-knit group of people, and it really gave the term team the definition of team would be the Gladiators. We really got along really nicely.
Now, I know, Jim, that I've gone through this after 25, 26, however many years of doing broadcasting that I have, that it's a really narrow lane that you kind of carve out when you do a specific job that doesn't necessarily translate. There's not a skill set that I'm bringing to the table where I could fill out a resume and somebody outside the broadcasting industry is going to be like, yeah, no, we should hire you to do whatever this is. You're an American Gladiator. What does that turn into post-career when once the cameras stop rolling and you're like, all right, my next step is to become the director of anthropology at the Smithsonian? Like, what do you go to after that?
That is, boy, that's a good question. I've never even thought about that. You know, it's certainly, even the job I have today, I just landed an awesome career job 2 months ago. And you know, people usually on these Teams meetings, Zoom meetings, you have to introduce yourself to a group of different individuals. And a lot of times I might lead with that. You know, before 27 years, before I was in the corporate world, I was an ex-professional athlete and I don't know if you guys ever remember TV show American Gladiators. And I got to tell you, almost everybody's like, oh, my God, I remember that show. And I don't think it's, you know, honestly, and I, being transparent, I don't think me being Jim the Gladiator has ever landed a particular job, or I don't think it's benefited me in terms of a hire or something like that, but it sure is a moment of conversation, I can tell you that.
I was just going to say, I would use it to end meetings. Like, did you guys know, like, this meeting's gone on too long, I'm kind of bored with it. Did you know I was on American Gladiators? And then just like, the conversation turns.
Talk amongst
right there.
Yourselves.
Yeah. Interesting. So yesterday I was on a Teams meeting with my company. It's called NSF. They've been around since 1944. They do third-party certification, GMP audits, all kinds of stuff. And so my colleague, whose name is Phil Tucker, we're on with, I introduced myself to this company. It's a brand, nutrition brand. And Phil goes, well, come on, Jim, aren't you going to tell him really your background? I'm like, oh gosh, here we go. So as soon as I let in, I said, well, I said to this gentleman, I said, hey, Scott, do you remember American Gladiators? He goes, yeah. And I said, well, I was Laser. He about lost it on the Teams call. I was like, oh my gosh. So I don't like even telling people that, but my colleagues like to, because they see the reaction of people when they find out and they just go crazy. So it was kind of cool that this guy knew the Gladiators so well.
Well, I grew up, I'm 5 years younger than you, Jim. I grew up in Billings. And before you were an American Gladiator, you and your brother, I mean, the Califat name was already out in the state of Montana. We knew what you guys were doing on the football field. And you and your brother both went kind of separate ways. One a Grizz, one a Bobcat. And your name was already there. So it's funny that, because when I first heard, I didn't know who I was watching. And somebody said, you know, that's Jim Califat. And I'm like, no way, Laser is Jim Califat. And that made me really happy. So you had a little bit of at least in-state fame anyway.
Yeah, I guess so. My brother was quite the stud. You know, he was the most valuable player in the state of Montana. He played inside linebacker. And unfortunately for Joe, my brother, he didn't have a 2.0 when he graduated, right? So to get a scholarship, a full ride scholarship, you need that 2.0. And amazingly, as you know, Montana State and U of M usually recruit within the family, right? Well, they didn't recruit within the family and they didn't even look at Joe, which it kind of pisses me off. And so the Grizz were all over Joe, giving him a scholarship, but they obviously couldn't. So they asked him to walk on. And that's how Joe ended up at the Grizz, because he walked on and he had to walk on to earn himself a full ride, even if they were to offer him something. And he kicked ass. He ended up not only becoming a scholar athlete. I mean, we all thought, man, is this guy just not, doesn't have any brains upstairs? But he ended up like surprising our entire family. He almost graduated with, I think he graduated with a 3.2 or a 3.5, earned himself a full ride scholarship at nose guard. And so kind of a really cool story there, that here you are, can't get a scholarship because your grades aren't well. Most valuable player in the state. And then he goes on and earns himself a full ride, earns himself a honors degree in football, you know, with having good grades, and become a starter. And that's really a cool story. So yeah, we were both athletes, and it's kind of cool. I mean, that's kind of where it all started, is, you know, the football arena for both myself and my brother, Joe.
Well, and Jim, I was curious about that, because you were established here in Montana. You know, you're born and raised, and you go on, you have this prolific career at MSU. You replace a guy named Malibu. No idea why somebody didn't pick up on the lack of toughness. I mean, they named him Malibu, for God's sake. But what about the response back home? Because it would be real easy for a lot of people around here wearing Carhartts and flannels to go, oh, look, it's Hollywood. He decided to come home and bless us with his presence. What was that like when your career took off? You're on TV in 60 countries, and yet, you know, back home here in Montana, I know people are just back home here in Montana. That had to have been a strange balance.
If you look back at when, you know, we did the show, this was before social media. I mean, it was before cell phones. I mean, I had a pager back in 1989, 1990. Well, the entire state of Montana didn't even know I was on the show because it was such a, you know, it was a unique market because you couldn't find the Gladiators on, you know, the main channels, NBC, CBS, or what's the other one?
ABC, yeah.
Fox. It was, you know, it was found on some goofy TV show or station at 2 o'clock in the morning. Well, you know, nobody knew. Even my buddies in Montana didn't even know I was on this show for probably quite a few years because I didn't really talk about it, but nobody, just like you said, you're watching the show, but you don't really know that that's the person that may be from your state or that person you may even know. Because it was kind of odd. Nobody really knew till years and years later where the show became a little bit more popular. And even now, I got to be honest, people in Montana that now tuned into the Muscles of Mayhem Netflix documentary, they kind of put it all together because, you know, you have to realize that that show came out and you either watched it, maybe you didn't. You really didn't know the background story of the Gladiators, how it started, how we really didn't make a ton of money doing it and all the injuries. So, yeah, it was just it's one of those things that I guess it morphed itself into being more of a celebrity in Montana. To be honest, I'd rather be known as a great football player than a great American Gladiator, to be honest.
Did you ever, because this is what I would have done with my buddies. Like, all right, put the costume on. Let's see it. And then you're like, oh, no, I'm not doing that.
I'm not doing that. That stuff shows too much. But
do you still have the costume? Do you still have it?
I do. I still have my, I have two costumes. I stole the one. I think I had to. I shouldn't say that. I think I took it from the costume department because I was like, they're not getting my costume. So I took one of them, and then I still have a few of us. I think it was myself, Nitro, Zap, and Tower. We all got these leather American Gladiator jackets done. They were all custom made, and I still have it today, which is. It's probably my pride and joy. It's a dang cool leather jacket, and it's famously made by a gentleman in LA, and they're still around doing leather jackets for celebrities and athletes. But yeah, so thought I'd add that a little bit in there. So.
Yeah, it is shocking to see and I grew up in the 80s. It's shocking to see the fashion still to this day when you see the big muscle sweaters. Cause I'm looking at your Instagram page and there's one, they were supposed to be sweatshirts, but they look like Cosby Show sweaters, except they were built for bodybuilders. They got the most ridiculous patterns on them. Like what happened to us in that decade where we looked at those clothes and went, no, that's a good idea.
Yeah, and you know they're all coming back, like the
yes.
What they call those, the balloon pants or whatever we wore.
I got kids, man. I got to talk them out. I got to talk my son out of getting a mullet. I'm like, you're not.
I know, and the mullets are back. The pants. All of it. It's like, really? I mean, it was a good era where we lived in the 80s, wasn't it?
Oh boy. And you're an icon of that era. You really are, as part of that. Got to ask you as we kind of wind down here. Your brother, we brought him up as part of the Califat name here in Montana. I know he had an accident, a serious accident in Great Falls. And how is he doing, first of all, and does he continue to need some help? Because I know his medical bills were astronomical.
Yeah, Scott and Mike, thank you for that. Thanks for bringing that up. You know, Joe, thankfully, Joe was in pretty good shape. You know, he was goofy Joe. He decided to go up on his roof to clean out his gutters, right? And he's just stepping up on the last step and he's got his right foot on the roof and the ladder went left, went right, and he fell 13 feet. And I got it. That's a long ways.
That's too far.
For a guy that's weighing, my brother, he's no small guy. He's 270 pounds. Mm. And you talk, and he landed on his back and serious. I mean, thankfully, his wife was home, but didn't hear it. But there was two guys working outdoors on the property next door and heard this guy moaning. And they heard the crash and they came running over. He was unconscious. they were screaming, and his wife heard it. She came out. They got Joe awake, and they, you know, they were all panicked. You know, I mean, gee whiz, they didn't even know what broken bones he had, what internal injuries. And they got him in the car, and his wife rushed him down the hospital. And he was in the hospital for quite a while. But this was months ago. Thankfully, he's doing way better. You know, as a guy that's, I mean, what is he, 57, 56, something like that. I mean, he's always going to have some residual pains from that injury and injuries. I mean, he broke, oh, my gosh, he broke, there's these spinal processes off your lower spine. He broke a bunch of those. He punctured a lung, he broke ribs, just the bruising. Oh my gosh. And you know, the thing is, he's lucky to be alive. And lucky to be alive or not paralyzed. Mm-hmm. Because it does happen. And he was in a tough spot because he was in between jobs. He had no health insurance. So I started a GoFundMe account, and I got to tell you, I was in Montana this past summer taking care of my mom as she's going through cancer. But Tom Wiley at the station there, he did a interview with me up at the local station. And I got to tell you, people from all over the state of Montana, you know, donating to Joe's GoFundMe, it put him in a good spot because they had no insurance. I mean, they didn't know what they were going to do. And it's it's emotional for me to talk about because people are good. I got to tell you, people stepped up that people didn't know Joe, didn't know me, or they did, or they were teammates, or man. And the money we raised to help Joe and his family through that time, very humbling, very, very, very special indeed.
That's good to hear. I'm about your brother's age, and I grew up in Billings. I was a Billings Senior High Bronc. I played football, and there's some guys on my team who still have residual injuries from your brother. So,
he's a tough dude, guy. I mean, he's not very tall. He's only like 5'9", but man, when he played nose, even linebacker, he was 230, and then he played nose guard. He was like 265 at 5'9".
Those Jack Johnson teams were tough.
Yeah, for sure. And speaking of Jack Johnson, you know, I just got inducted to the High School Legends Hall of Fame, which was so cool. There were so many athletes that were there that got inducted, and athletes that I've never met that I've always wanted to meet, you know, that were older than I was. And it was really, really a cool situation that they had at CMR, and seeing Jack and all the coaches there. It was really cool.
Well, and as we kind of wind down here, Jim, I'm looking at your Instagram page. Where else can people find you?
Well, I'm not a real social media type guy, but I have Facebook and Instagram, and that's about it. I don't post a lot of stuff, but that's about it. And, you know, they can find me at, you know, JimStar32 on Instagram or Facebook. They can find me on LinkedIn, and and I'm always happy. People reach out to me all the time on social media and Messenger or Facebook, and I'm always happy to message that person back. And it's pretty cool, I think, that we're in a situation where, you know, if you're in the limelight and people give you a few minutes of their time, you better be deserving that. You better give them back some time to them as well. And I've always felt that way. So and just like you guys reaching out and wanting me to be on your podcast here, it's really nice. It's humbling for me. And I've said that word many times, humbling. It really is, especially as you get older, you realize life is short, and you gotta take in the moments.
Well, we'll put those up in the show notes, the links. You can go directly to those pages. And can't say enough. I mean, like I said, I'm just looking at some of the pictures, some of the Comic-Con type stuff you've done. There's a picture with Dee Snider from Twisted Sister. That guy's still out there making the rounds. Thank you so much for your time. Really, can't express it enough.
Yeah, we greatly appreciate it.
You bet, and happy 2024, and let's all kick some butt, never surrender, and I appreciate you guys, and if you ever want me back on a later date, I'll be more than happy and honored.
So that was Laser or Jim Starr or Jim Califat. The man has many names. Super cool guy.
Absolutely.
And especially with what his brother's been going through and his mom and all of that, cannot express enough how happy we were to have him. You've got to check out the Instagram page. You have to get on there and just see all the crazy stuff this guy's doing. Because he says he's not on there a lot, but he's recording videos. There's old pictures of he and his brother from their college football days. If you're a Montana high school or college football historian, there's a bunch of great stuff on his account.
He was kind of the first big football star from Great Falls. He's before Ryan Leaf. He was the guy from Great Falls who was like the he went on to do some cool things,
right?
And he's much better liked up there, trust me.
Well, and you know, he soft sold it, and again, go to the Instagram page, you'll see it. He's like, yeah, no, I'm only 192 pounds now at 61.
Oh my,
that's a different 192 than your 192.
He was in the fitness industry for a long time after American Gladiators.
Oh, he's
sounds like now he's a corporate executive,
right?
I mean, just and what a great guy. And that's by all accounts, that's what I heard before. This is the first time I've ever talked to Jim, and I heard that from every single person. We have mutual friends, and I said, do you think he'd do a podcast? And they're like, he would absolutely do it.
Well, he may be a former athlete, but he's still built like an absolute unit. And like I said, you know, before we started this whole thing, we've not had anybody on here that I was as sure could punch a hole through me as this guy at age 62 or not. I don't care. So
if you haven't seen that documentary, it is really interesting to watch. It's a lot of fun to watch. You'll go through the five episodes in one sitting because it is, especially if you lived during that time. If you remember American Gladiators, if you watched it, if you remember the action figures, he has action figures of Laser and American Gladiators.
It's the pro wrestler huge thing. It was enormous. It was impossible to get away from and a ton of fun to watch. And thanks again to Jim for stopping by. Check out those links. Thank you for checking out this episode of the show. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the show. That's how we get to do what we do. It's the shares that make the machine go and the algorithms and all of the nonsense with that. So please be a part of that, and we will be back next week.